Blog Talk Radio.
Well,
what's happening?
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. We're glad to have you with us tonight. Thank you for mastering the Blog Talk Radio app. Before we went live here tonight, we had a very, very important discussion that I believe I should share with you this evening. And that discussion is, no matter what, as we progress through the end times, don't be offended at an app. Because if they don't work, it doesn't do you any good to pound your fist on the table or pound your phone or your computer. No matter how hard you strike the buttons on your computer, it doesn't make the computer work any better. You can hit the enter button very hard, and it does not make it work any better. So, now that we have shared this piece of information, just in case you didn't get it, I'm going to share it one more time. There. Welcome, YouTube. We're glad to have you with us tonight. And we have started out this morning's Read the Word with a very in-depth, detailed, specific, prophetic word for the day, 29 November 2022. Thou shalt not be offended at an app. Can I get a great amen from Brother Yellowbelt?
A great amen.
Do not be offended at an app. Just smile, point your finger at it, and say, you belong to me. You will work like you're supposed to work. Or something along that line, so that you're speaking in faith. Welcome to Read the Word. Today we're going to get caught up on a couple of Read the Words. We had to drive home from Michigan back to North Dakota, and that goes to a whole bunch of territory where there is no effective signal. And we got ourselves landed in, got a day's work underneath our belt, actually got some sleep. Thank God for some
Hallelujah.
Sleep. I like sleep. It does you good every now and then. Maybe about once or twice a week you should have sleep.
It does the body good.
But we're glad to have you with us tonight. And so we're going to catch up 2 days, day number 328 and day number 329 tonight. And on this program, this is our Read the Word program, but this is also our Establishing the Faith program that we're doing on Tuesday, the 29th. This is going to show up on Wednesday morning. Now, the whole book of Galatians in one setting. I like it.
Yeah, me too.
I like it. And what you're seeing is this is reading the word chronologically as it actually happened historically. And so it's pretty exciting. We've read all the way through Acts chapter 15. Now we're going to read Galatians. We just read James a minute ago, you know, a couple days ago. So it put James where he was at. Now it's going to put the book of Galatians where it was actually written by the Apostle Paul as they were going through the history of the church. I think it's an exciting way to do this, and we're glad that you have joined with us in this process. Now, I wanted to say our opening prayer. And so here we go. Let's pull it up. And for those of you that's on Blog Talk Radio, it'll be available for you to see there. Remember, if you're on Zoom, make sure you mute your mic while you say it at home, because when you speak, it changes the screen to you and nobody gets to see the words. So, here we go. Say it out loud with me. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name,
we, the community of faith, declare,
thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. And now, here we go, Galatians chapter 1.
And welcome, Sister Sunday, on YouTube.
Welcome, Sunday, on YouTube. Here we go. Galatians chapter 1. Let's get the video back up here. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. And, you know, Paul makes a statement. I'm not going to get exact, but an apostle out of time, he said about himself, because he was persecuting the church, and then God brought him in, and he's not only not persecuting the church, but becomes one of the most persecuted members of the church, standing in faith with and for God Almighty. And what an amazing servant of the Lord the Apostle Paul was, to all of those years just faithfully discharge his duties and be the mighty man of God that God called him to be. God told Ananias to make the statement, I will show him all the things that he will suffer for my name. Now, our title tonight is Galatians, heirs of the kingdom and not of the law. When you look at the doctrine of the book of Galatians, it is justified by faith. And Abraham was justified by faith. And then it was a warning against those that were continually trying to bring Judaism into the kingdom, because Judaism does not belong in the kingdom in any sense of the word. Amen. Anyone from any walk of life is welcome to join in to the kingdom. However, when you come, don't bring your stuff with you. Come to the kingdom and receive the kingdom so that you can be a part of the kingdom. Does that make sense? When you come to the kingdom, join in and be a part of the kingdom. Oh, you're co-host now.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Galatians chapter 1, let's get started. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me. Now he tells us who he's writing to. To the churches of Galatia, the region of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it something that Paul starts most of his letters, the epistles, with grace to you and peace?
Yeah.
Why? Because Paul needed a whole lot of grace and peace everywhere he went. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present age and cause us to remember our pen. Did you find my pen for me, Lord? I'm not sure where to tell you, but it's out there somewhere. He might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, he's not saying that you and I aren't going to be in an evil age. He's saying that in the midst of the evil age, we are delivered. In the midst of the evil age, we are delivered. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Do you notice that he's not talking about doctrine? He's talking about you're moving away from Jesus. Verse 7, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is everywhere today. Even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And no angel from God is going to teach you a doctrine away from the word of God. But there are angels in the heavenlies, principalities and powers, that would show up as an angel of light. That verse sometimes is confusing to some people. Mm-hmm. All right. Verse 9. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be cursed. For I do not persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men. For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Y'all, I don't say a thing I say here to impress you. I say everything I say here to walk with God. Amen? Wait, that's the safest place to be. Why? Because you've always got to have this nose and these eyes and these two ears right in this book saying, wait a minute, I know that's what I've always believed, but what's the Bible say? That's one of the greatest statements you'll ever learn. I know that's what I always believed, but is that doctrine actually in the Bible? And if it's not, who needs to change? Like Brother Jesse DePlanis says, let God be true and every man a liar. I'm sticking with the word. Verse 11, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came to me through revelation of Jesus Christ. For you heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure, and I actually tried to destroy it. That's the book of Acts. That's the first 9 chapters of Acts. 14. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the tradition of my fathers. Remember what Jesus said? You literally desire the traditions of men and make the word of God non-effective. That's literally what Jesus said. 15. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, and nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia. Where is Arabia? Arabia is the desert, the wilderness. Paul, Saul of Tarsus then, went into the wilderness and probably experienced his own 40-day fast like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And probably immediately went into a Nazarite vow, because we see later in the in the book of Acts, Paul is shaving his head because he had taking a vow. Why? Those are acts of consecration to God that God recognizes. Moses was 40 days in the wilderness. Joshua was, matter of fact, Moses and Joshua were 70 days in the wilderness. 40, go down, beat the stuffings out of wicked, adulterous children of God, and God say, get back up the mountain. And this time you bring some stones with you, and you put the Ten Commandments on them. So you got Moses and Joshua. You got John the Baptist. You've got Jesus. You've got Elijah. There's many, many people that have used the Jesus fast 40 days in the wilderness, water only. And then Samuel and Samson and John the Baptist were all Nazarites from their birth. And so we realize God is continually looking for people that will consecrate themselves to him. Well, this is what Paul just said right here. Verse 17, I didn't go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles. He went out into the wilderness. He went into Arabia all by himself, and Jesus showed up. You see what it says? Where did it go? Anyways, it said it was revelation of Jesus. Yeah, 12. But it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. The first part of that revelation is when Jesus sucker punched him on the road. You little sucker. All right. It doesn't say that in the Bible. That's my personal belief. I'm in verse 18. Look at this. Then after 3 years. How impatient do we get sometimes that we see a verse and it doesn't happen for us in a month? Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. Why? God was changing Saul of Tarsus on the inside to become Paul the Apostle. And he had some work to get done on him. I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me. Chapter 2. After 14 years.
Wow.
We're now 17 years into Saul of Tarsus' conversion. And what do you and I have? I have an app, Jesus. And I see the verse, and I want this to come to pass in my life right now. Let's see. That just doesn't always go over well with Jesus. Have you ever noticed that? I know there's people who say, I stomp my fist and cry a little bit, and Jesus gives me whatever I want. No, that was your dad. Or maybe your mother or someone who raised you. But every one of us in God must grow up. And it looks like it took Paul 17 years to come to the level. Let's keep reading. Am I doing good or no? I'm not doing very good, am I?
You're doing good.
I'm in Galatians 2:1. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Here he goes. Paul's getting ready to punch the spirit of religion right in the face. Don't you love it? I do. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in. I want you to see that. Secretly they were brought in. They didn't just come in. They were brought in. Who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us back into bondage. Don't listen to those people. Verse 5, to whom we did not yield submission, not even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. All right? Now, but from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. For those who seem to be something added nothing to me. That's a pretty straightforward statement that he just made right there.
Yep, you
saying,
can hear all that.
those who appeared to be something. Listen, here's the reality, guys. This relationship we have with God is a relationship with God. We don't do anything that we do to impress that man, or any man. And if you've been around a group of people that's what your Christian life was all about, was impressing people, I got a word for you. You're going to have to get out of that and quit worrying about the praise of man around you. We walk with God because we walk with God. We walk with God because we walk with God. I love my Christian brothers. I mean, this week is the leadership conference with my pastor, Dr. Mark T. Barkley. I love this conference. I love how Dr. Barkley is always led by the Holy Spirit to do it. I'm not going to miss 1 minute of it. We're going to stream it live right here in the program. Make sure you're connected with us or go over to his channel and get it.
Starting tomorrow night.
But I'm going to tell you right now, I do not worship him, and he does not worship me, because God doesn't show personal favoritisms to anyone. He has a system. He has a plan. It's perfect. It's worked seamlessly all through the ages. And if you're going to be a part of his kingdom, you got to work the kingdom like the kingdom works according to the word.
Amen.
And nobody can say, yeah, but God changes it for me. Nope. You're going to bump your head against that wall until you look at it and say, I've got to do what the Bible says. Verse number 7. I'm in Galatians 2:7, and from now on, I'm just reading.
Well, that would be just no fun.
For several verses.
Yes, it would still be fun. But for several verses.
Have you ever tried to just read the book?
For several words, anyway.
Have you ever tried to just read the book of Galatians and not teach it? I mean, this is almost impossible. 7. On the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to be to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, and they were, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was very eager to do. Galatians 2:11. When Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Remember that Paul said, I didn't go to Jerusalem? Peter came to Antioch. And verse 12, for before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Don't be afraid of religion. But I'm going to tell you, it's a serious battle.
Of man in general.
Yes, it is. 13. The rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, however you want to say it. 14. When I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles, not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh is justified. Now, in that day, it was the feast of the Passover, the feast of the first fruits, you know, the day of atonement. Make sure your lamb is like this and your turtle doves are like that and your grain is like this and your wine and your oil. And it had to be perfect. But see, in the New Testament, God did away with all of that and he put it in a little cup called communion. And he put it in a personal relationship where it's not God way out in heaven somewhere. It's God living inside of here, leading you and I from the inside out. So completely different dispensation. Verse 17. I'm going back 16. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. No flesh, not yours or mine. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Pastor, what did I destroy? When you became born again, all the works of the flesh, all of the sins was completely removed from your life, thrown in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you anymore. You were washed, purged, cleansed, made white as snow, justified just as if you never sinned. All of that happened. You were redeemed. You were bought back. It all happened right when you were born again. But look what he said. If I build again those things which I destroyed, you didn't do it. Your faith did. You received Jesus and it destroyed it. I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, that's this stuff that you're living right now in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now look at verse 21. I do not set aside the grace of God. In the King James, it says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. If you have to suffer pain, sorrow, fear, loneliness, sickness, disease, and all that, then why did God make Jesus go through that? That's the most cruel, evil, wicked father there could ever be.
And that is not our father. Oh,
Christ did not die in vain. And when you suffer that stuff and put up with it, you're spitting in the face of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Pastor, I don't even know how to get out of this because I don't want to spit in Jesus' face. I know. Stop saying you're suffering it for the glory of God. Job, out of 100, no, he lived to be 200 years old, didn't he? 220. Job lived to be 220 years old. Out of 220 years, I think it was the number, but it's up there. Out of 220 years, there were 7 days or 14 days of his life that he suffered that loss.
And it wasn't for God. God didn't put it on him.
14 days. Quit saying I'm suffering like Job for my whole life. No, you aren't. You have welcomed the destroyer in. Pastor, I didn't either. Well, okay. You haven't forced him out. Get over here with us and we'll help you win that battle. You don't have to lose that battle. You have a pastor that will fight with you every day, but I can't fight for you. I can only fight alongside of you. And if you ain't fighting, one thing I can do is pick your head up out of the mud so you will breathe air again instead of breathing water and mud. And if you stick your head back down in the mud, there's nothing I can do because I can't force you to not suffer when you decide you want to. I'm preaching better than you're staring at me, and you can throw anything you want to throw because I'm on the other side of the screen. Chapter 3, here we go. I'm going to make it. Goodness sakes alive. It's one of my most favorite books of the Bible right here on page 1511. Chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? I mean, he's saying to these people, you can go to the historical record and find out that Jesus was crucified. I mean, they lived in that period of time. Two. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Obvious answer, hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, if you're suffering like that, it is in vain. Stop suffering in vain. I don't judge you. I don't judge nobody. Stand up. Send me a text. Send Sister Leanne a text and say, help me stand up and quit suffering. We will. And we'll never judge you. I'm going to be bold and say, hey, you're suffering and you don't need to be suffering. Yeah, but Pastor, how do I not suffer when it's just everywhere around me? Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You got to get yourself focused on the abundant life and quit getting yourself focused on the sorrow, the sadness, the pain, the loss, the misery, the destruction. Because God says, whichever one you're going to focus on, I have to let you do.
Yeah.
And that, I have to say this. You guys only see me delivered. I mean, Brother Dan might remember a little bit of me, not this delivered. But I was a mess when I went to Dr. Barclay's church. I really was. I was late one day for Sunday morning service, and one of the elders was walking in from one of the other buildings at the same time I was. And I had this forlorn look on my face. He walked up beside me, put his arm around me, said, hey, man of God, how you doing? He didn't let me answer. He just looked at me. He said, oh, I know. You're puking all over yourself. Look at you. He starts dusting off my suit. Like, you got puke all over you. You're just vomiting up all that garbage out of you. And you keep wondering why God can't do nothing for you or with you. But look at you. You're just puking all over yourself and enjoying it. And then he stopped me. And he looked me right in the eye and he said, Sam, you are a man of God. Quit acting like a man of the flesh. This is an elder of the church. Outside on the steps of the church hurting my feelings on a Sunday morning. Now, I didn't have puke on me. But by the Spirit of God, he knew exactly what was happening in my life. What was I doing? I was speaking what I had, not what I wanted. guess what you get?
What you have and don't want.
You get what you speak.
Yeah.
You know what the guy did? He then hired me to work in the company he worked for. He said, I'll hire you. You're a good worker. And I'll help you.
God bless that man.
And he was one of those men of Living Word. Not Dr. Barclay. He was an elder in the church that you will never, I mean, he's already in heaven. His name's James Wagner. You never even know who he was.
And he changed your life.
But he marked my life that day.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm like, but James, I don't know what to do. He said, stop saying what you have. Say what you want. You've got to stand up in faith. Because the more you say what you have, the more you're going to have it. Because God's got to let you have the words of your mouth. He goes, do you remember Pastor preaching that you're going to be justified and condemned by the words of your mouth? And I'm like, oh, yeah. He goes, how'd you do this morning? I said, I'm pretty bad, seriously condemned and judged. He goes, yeah, just don't do that anymore. And then he truly began to help me. And this was the coolest thing about it. He put his arm around me and said, man of God. He didn't call me a failure. He didn't call me a loser. He put his arms around me and said, you're a man of God. And that's what we do for all of you every single time we come here. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. I know, Pastor, but you should see me. I know. But see, I don't see you like that flesh is you're operating in. I see you as the new creation that Jesus made you.
Amen.
I've got to read.
You do. But that was some really, really good preaching. It's too funny, too, because Roger and I were talking about that very thing this morning on the prayer program. He's trying to help a nephew out of that habit of...
Yeah. Here we go. I'm in Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? No. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Abraham, our father, he's the father of all the nations. In you, all the nations shall be blessed. Right there. God said, hey, Abraham, walk with me, be holy, and I'll make a great nation. And Abraham said, hey, all right, let's do it. But see, that's what God says to you when he comes to you and you're born again. You can't be born again by anything except receiving. And that's what Abraham did. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you violated one commandment, one law, we're guilty of them all. 11. No one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith, not a list of do's and don'ts. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Who does the law, then you live by the law, and you're under the curse. 13. Christ has redeemed us from the law. becoming a curse for us. Amen. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus became the curse for you and me. Can I get a big amen from anybody?
Amen. I was waiting for the great amen.
I was waiting for
the great amen.
Amen, Brother Roger. There it is. 13.
Amen.
Christ, hey, thank you, Sister Rebecca. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. So Jesus took the curse. So now the curse, there should be no curse on any part of our life.
Not generational curses or anything.
Not any curse. And when you accept them and say, yeah, but I have this in my life, then Jesus has to let you have it because you just claimed it.
Yeah.
Stop claiming the curse.
Yeah. And the biggest way that people do that is when you go to the doctor and they say, do you have a family history of that? Yes, we have heart disease. We have diabetes. We have... Don't claim that. All those things are a curse.
All of those
don't
things.
Don't claim them. They don't pertain to us anymore. Hi, Kathy.
Hey, wait, you feel like you're talking to me. You know what's crazy about this read the word, establishing your faith tonight? I feel like I'm talking to me. Wait. Yeah, I want everybody to get this. No matter who you are or where you are, every one of us, including me, are going to fight this battle till the day we see Jesus. Why?
Yeah.
Because the world, the flesh, the devil, and religion is going to try to stop us to the very last day we're on this earth. But it can't, but we've got to fight the good fight for our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness sakes. Galatians chapter 3, verse 15. It's good to see you, Kathy. We love you. We love you and Matt and Joey and Bella, we pray for you guys all the time. I know dreams and visions are coming to you guys in the night because I'm speaking it. And listen, to everybody within the sound of my voice, if you're getting bad dreams from my prayer, I've had three people text me and say, Pastor, I'm getting bad dreams from your prayers. Stop praying.
Again.
No, I'm not going to stop praying. What's happening is God is going behind a wall you got put up and you don't realize is there. And he's trying to put the healing balm of Gilead back in there. Let him. Matter of fact, take the blood, put it back there, blast that wall to pieces and say, ah, look at here. Everything's peace, love, joy, and happiness. And I want you to know this. I got to do this same work that all you all are doing. Literally, Sunday, for our service Sunday, Sister Sunday and Sister Rebecca were there. The faithful. The tried, the true, the tested were there. And we couldn't go on YouTube because our signal was coming and going as we was driving down the road. But literally from that conversation and that teaching on Sunday morning, mm-hmm. Sister Leanne and I talked for 6 hours, maybe 8 hours. What? About our lives. Putting that word down in our lives. And it was like, wow, wow, wow. And it's like the anointing kept going farther and farther and farther down in our life and setting us freer and freer. I know it's not a good word, but freer and freer. So don't think I'm preaching at you because I'm not. I love every one of you. I want to help you make it. However, you got to stand up and fight. Because if you'll fight and we fight, we win.
Amen.
Verse 15, we are going to get through this. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it's only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, is Christ. Jesus is of the seed of Abraham. Jesus is the one that came to Abraham and said, walk before me and be perfect. And then Jesus said, and by the way, Abe, I'm going to come be a part of all y'all's family. Oh, you're just fighting the battle of life, Kathy. You don't have to be sorry about nothing with us. This is the battle of this day. This is the battle. You are a mighty woman of God, and we receive you just like that.
Amen. And we don't see you as unfaithful. We see we're happy to have you
ready?
With us.
Here is 17 more arrows. Stand in that line right over there and fire, because we're destroying that enemy out there.
Amen.
Verse 17. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. So 400 years before the law, Abraham said, I believe you. And God said, good, you're my man. 18. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise 400 years before the law. 19. What purpose then does the law serve? Good question.
Good question.
It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. So what is a mediator between this one and this one? A mediator has to have two people. 21. Is the law then against the promise of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe in faith. You fought that battle, Kathy, and you're here with us. 23. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor, our teacher, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. 25. But after faith has come, we no longer are under the tutor, the law. We are under the teacher, the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. He came to complete it. Amen.
Amen.
26. I'm in Galatians 3:26. For you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Remember what Paul said over here in Galatians 2:6. God shows personal favoritisms to no man. Well, verse 28 says, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond or free. There's neither male nor female. What did he do? He took away all ethnicity. He took away whether you're a slave or a king. And he took away male and female and said, all y'all are the same. Quit trying to act like one of you is better than the other.
Amen.
I love Dr. Barclay. One year at a leadership conference, he made this statement. Remember, it doesn't matter what part you are in the army of God, whether you're a private on the front line, or maybe you're a non-commissioned officer, a sergeant, or maybe you're a master sergeant over sergeants. Maybe you're the command sergeant major over all of the sergeants, or maybe you're an officer. Every single person in the army of the Lord walks across the battlefield.
Yes.
It's the same battlefield.
Yep.
Everybody's foot's going to go across that battlefield. The only difference is the position in which you were put on the field by the head of the church, Jesus.
Amen.
And if you're the commander, you weren't put there because of your specialness. You were put there by the assignment of the commander, Jesus.
Amen.
So everybody's crossing this field, the battlefield, everybody. Find your place where he wants you and function in. Chapter 4. We're going to make it. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he's master of it all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Somebody ought to give us a great amen. And I'm not going on until I get it.
The great amen.
Bless you, Roger. I love you.
Love you, too.
Now.
My phone won't move fast enough for me to give you an amen on time. It's moving really slowly.
Now, I'm just going to pause, and I know I'm preaching, but it's all right. The word heir is used 9 times in the New Testament. So we've got to realize that God is saying something to us. And just like Paul just said, you are heirs according to the promise. You might say, yeah, but Pastor, I don't even understand what that means. I know you don't, but guess what? I do understand what it means. And I want you to be a part of my family, the community of faith. Our family, the community of faith, God's family, the kingdom of God, and I want you to get it. You're an heir of God. Because as soon as you get it, you'll no longer put up with the devil being on any part of your life.
Amen.
Yeah, but Pastor, I just want to be the bride and look pretty. Nope. That is not the day that we're living in. That is the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is after we get done preparing to be received on the day that that Jesus steps out on the cloud and says, hey, come up here. See, the bride isn't in a beautiful dress until it's that day. She's fixing, she's scurrying, she's doing, she's going, she's being. She ain't don't have on no pretty dress. You got on her jeans and a sweatshirt and sweating and no makeup and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But that's the problem with the church. Well, I'm the bride of Christ. Well, no, you're not. No, that's a bad doctrine. You will be someday, but right now you are part of the groom. We are the body of Christ. When you get this doctrine fixed in your mind right now, you'll become the army of God. We're not in the bride. We're in the groom. I can tell right now people are throwing tomatoes and cans of vegetables and their Bible and their tablet at me. Wait, who you think you are? Wait. Get the thought. You are the body of Christ. It's not a cute statement that we make. It's the reality. Christ is the groom.
And think of this too, the foot, the lowest part of the body, is what carries the whole body.
Now think. See, here's what's got to happen. You got to get this revelation because there's a whole bunch. I mean, the majority of the body. I'm just a bride sitting around looking pretty. No, you ain't. That day is coming. 1,000 years from now. Right now, we are the part of the groom. I'll take you and your Bible on. It's not even a hard doctrine to understand. The reality is, you're going to stick with what the church has taught you, or you're going to stick with what this is talking about. Because the Bible calls us the body of Christ.
Yeah.
You can't be Christ and the bride and Christ, and you, that doesn't work. We are part of the army of God. We are part of the commander of the army of God.
Yeah.
Chapter 4. Wait, if you want a good teaching on that, then text me and I'll get it sent up to you. Because we studied that for about 2 days here. And it's good teaching. Chapter 4, verse 1. I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he's a master of all. Remember what he just said. No Jew or Greek, no bond or free, no male or female. And even though you're the master of it all, you're still a slave. But is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. We're getting ready to celebrate it for 25 days. Born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Say it. I'm in the kingdom.
I'm in the kingdom.
I'm so fired up. I drank all my coffee.
Get more fired up in the spirit, Pastor.
Here we go. Verse 7. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus. 8. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of the physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Remember Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh? It was a messenger of Satan to buffet him because of the high level of revelation that God had given him. It wasn't sickness. Paul crushed sickness everywhere he went. I'm in Galatians 4:15. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. That's why some people say Paul had an infirmity in his eyes, because they would have been willing to give him their eyes.
Not what he was saying at all, is it?
16. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. It is good to be zealous in a good thing always. but don't be zealous for religion. 19, my little children for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. Verse 21, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, he of the free woman through the promise, which these things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. What's Paul doing? He's correlating Abraham's two wives because Abraham tried to solve the problem in his own flesh. And he created an Ishmael, and he named him Ishmael. So Abraham trying to make it work in the flesh, God said, that ain't what I'm doing. But Ishmael will be a great nation. There's a billion of the Ishmaelites around the nation, around the world today. But see, there's two covenants, and they're from God. I'm in verse 27. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. That's Isaiah chapter 54. Verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, even so it is now. Ishmael is still persecuting Isaac to this very day. And it's all of the law. And there's no weirder, more stupid law than the law of the Ishmaelites, the Muslims. I mean, their law doesn't even make good, intelligent sense.
Right.
30. And if you're someone who's a Muslim, come to Jesus. There's no Jew nor Greek. There's no bond nor free. And there's no male or female. You just get to come and be one of us. All you got to do is receive it. And then you're part of the kingdom. You're part of Abraham. Now you're double part of Abraham. You were born of Abraham, but now you get to have the faith of Abraham too. I love it. Amen. 28. I'm in Galatians 4:28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. Who was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And what's Jesus saying to us? Get rid of the bondages of the law and live in the liberty of the covenant.
Amen.
Chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be again entangled with the yoke of bondage. That is a commandment to every one of us, you and me. 2, indeed I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. You'll just have cut your flesh off. That's all it is. It might be more of a health, a cleanliness process, but there's no spiritual value to it. And I testify again to you, to every man who becomes circumcised, that he's a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. How are you righteous? Not by your acts, not by the law, not by do's and don'ts. You're righteous by faith. 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. That's what our whole kingdom functions from. Verse 7. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Persuasion that hindered you does not come from him who calls you. Remember, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have this confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And what is that saying to you? That's saying that those that are telling you to go back and be bound by the law and fear and loneliness and pain and suffering and sickness and disease and sadness, that person who's telling you to put up with that, they're going to bear their own judgment because it's not a doctrine that comes from this book. I don't care how big a ministry he has, how big a building he has, how many followers he has or she has. When they tell you to suffer for Jesus, they're speaking against this book. You will suffer persecution. You do not have to be sick, diseased, sad, broke, busted, or disgusted. Don't you just love this? I'm in Galatians 5:9. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence you in the Lord that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you, he will bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Paul's saying, well, if you want to cut flesh off, then cut your flesh off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, that's where we get Romans 8:11. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He's still in there, even if you're forcing all this garbage down on top of him. He's still in there screaming, no, let me out. The Holy Spirit wants to be the biggest thing in your life. But if you've had a lot of trauma and pain and sorrow and suffering and people told you that that should be magnified, that will be magnified in your life until you listen to those of us that say, no, the Holy Spirit of God is in you and he's the one that should be magnified, being the greatest of all things in your life. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Verse 16, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath. A thief and an outburst of wrath is the same work of the flesh. Same person. Jealousy, selfish ambition, dissension, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelry, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't take that verse out of the Bible. If you find yourself as a believer still practicing those things, it's because those things were taught to you and trained to you so huge as a child. You've got to go to the Word, get the verses, and crush this from your life and not let it stay. Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. When you have the Spirit of God, that is your nature. Patience is not a virtue. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit.
Very good.
That statement people make, patience is a virtue, possess it if you can, seldom found in women. Seldom found in women, never found in man. That is a wicked, perverse statement,
really, really.
Because patience is not a virtue. It is a fruit of the Spirit, just like gentleness and just like peace and just like long-suffering and kindness. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And no, I won't back down because that's the word. Doesn't matter how angry you get at me. Yeah, but Pastor, I've believed that my whole life. Guess what? You better get out of your life the things you've believed your whole life that are not this book.
Amen.
Because the longer you hold on to that which is not this book, the less God's word has the ability to set you free. Remember, we love you. And I have to fight this same battle that you're fighting. And I fight it every single day. You can ask Sister Lynn, we have hours of conversation where we're like, no, we will not let this destroy us or hold us down another day. And we grab the verse of scripture and we go to war, just like we tell you to do.
Amen.
Like, seriously. Why? Because it won't be bound. 24. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. That's what I've been saying to you every day since we've been here. Hey, we're fighting this same battle you are, but we're going to help you. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But I'm not going to stand here and watch you take a hammer to yourself and let you keep doing it. I'm going to say, give me that hammer. Stop hitting yourself. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Let each one examine his own work, and then he'll have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught of the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So the more you sow life and life more abundantly, the more life and life more abundantly come into your life. The less you sow life and life more abundantly, the more kill, steal, and destroy comes into your life. And you don't want kill, steal, and destroy. You want life. And life more abundantly, but you're the sower of the seed. All I can do is teach you and stand alongside of you and hand you some more life seed to sow and hand you some more life seed to sow and hand you some more life seed to sow. I have to make a choice every day. Am I going to sow life or am I going to sow death? And you can ask Sister Leanne, the favorite verse I have is God is making all grace abound right here. Right now, every day, he is making all grace abound toward me right here, right now, today, that we always, having all sufficiency in all things, have an exceeding abundance to every good work. I sow that scripture every day, all the time. Why? Because it's what I want. It may not be what's in front of me, but it is what I want, and it's what you want. 9. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Verse 11, see with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. And as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your circumcised flesh. That was the only boasting they wanted. But God forbid that I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Well, he made it. Goodness sakes alive, if he ever make it.
The great amen.
The great amen. Now, let's do this quickly. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. Let's pray the prayer of rededication, because that's what we do here. And then we'll be finished with Read the Word, and we'll receive our communion elements together. Everybody pray this prayer with me, if you will. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
According to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Now here's our statement, so make a bold declaration. Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again the third day just for me.
Put your hands up and just say it. I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your love and your mercy.
All of your love and your mercy.
All of your grace and your righteousness.
All of your grace and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of
my life.
With all of the fullness of God.
All of the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life. As a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the family of God. We're glad to have you here. We truly are. Thank you for being a part of ours and what's happening today. Now, I can see that I really need to just go back and teach the whole book of Galatians, because that was way too much fun.
It really is.
And I think I did pretty good, because I did it in under an hour, about an hour. We read the whole book of Galatians, and we actually led you into some great understanding. So Those of you who just received Jesus, realize the book of Galatians just came alive in your life. For those of you who will be seeing this video after the rapture happens and you're left on this earth going, oh my God, what have I just done? I missed the rapture. Thank God you found this video.
Amen.
Find every video that I have on the internet. They will all be downloadable, and download every one of them. Get you a computer with a very large hard drive. Go to the internet, and you're still going to have the internet to some degree, but buy you one of those external hard drives and put them all on there and study it and get alone all by yourself and study it so that you can find yourself and you can make it all the way to the midpoint of the tribulation, because then there'll be another rapture. A bunch of people have said to me, man, Pastor, you scared me when you said that. Well, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but that is the reality of where we're at.
Reality, yeah.
If you fool around, you can miss the rapture. And Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. All you got to do is get your mind on abundant life and you'll not have the rest of it. Pastor, help me. I will help you. I am helping you. Text me, email me. I'm going to give you some messages. You're going to have to study them over and over and over and over and over. But can you imagine missing the rapture? It'll be worth having studied over and over so you don't miss the rapture. Somebody just said, do you actually believe this, Pastor? I not only believe it, I know it. Jesus is at the door. But you have to open the door, because he won't kick it down. No matter how many gospel songs said Jesus kicked the door down to my life and forced his way in to save me. No, he did not, and no, he will not. He is a gentleman. He stands at the door and knocks. If any man will open the door and invite him in, then he will come in. Pastor, I just want to believe that Jesus is going to force himself on me, and no matter what, he's going to force me to make it. Nope. Nope. Bad doctrine, false doctrine, not the Bible. You have to make a determination that you are going to be in the kingdom and that you are going to invite Jesus to come in. When you say, God, humble me, it won't be God. The enemy will humiliate you, because God says, you humble yourself.
Yeah.
Jesus is standing at the door. For those of you that just prayed the prayer of salvation, he just came in. All of his grace, his mercy, his love, his righteousness, his peace, his happiness, everything. He just filled you with all of himself. Get this. Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith, just filled you. You know what that means? Faith himself lives inside of you. Pastor, why can't I find it? Because your eye, your ear, and your mouth are not focused on faith. They're focused on fear, sadness, sorrow, wickedness, loss, poverty, and suffering. Change your words to match the word and match life, and you will no longer have that stuff weighing you down. But you've got to go to war, because it is a war till the day Jesus comes. Yeah, but Pastor, they told me that if I just got saved, all my problems would go away. Well, they lied to you. When you get saved, the problems don't go away. You have the answer inside of you to every problem, and that's God Almighty, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. But the problems don't go away. We just learn how to take that. Like I said to Kathy, here's some more arrows. Start shooting.
Yeah.
You just learn how to fight. We already won. Oh, goodness, I'm preaching. Welcome to the kingdom. How do I walk with God, Pastor? Everywhere you go, out of your mouth, say, I'm a believer. That's the easiest way to get it to change. People say, I can't believe it. Just make the statement. I can, because I'm a believer. Really? You're a believer? Yeah. You believe in what? I believe in Jesus. Really? Yeah. You want to do it too? Well, I don't know. Can you help me? Yeah. Every one of you that's a believer can help somebody else be a believer. Ready? Just say it. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
And now you're saved. Really? He just came in and he's living on the inside of you. And you wake up in the morning. First person you talk to is God. Morning, Father. It won't be long. You'll hear him say, good morning. I always say, what happened during the night that I missed? Oh, don't worry about it. Let's get busy on the day. God really talks to you that way? Yeah. He's your Father. He's your Father. I can just preach like for hours tonight. But let's keep moving. Click like, subscribe, hit the bell, and you'll be a part of what we're doing here on a daily basis. We've been here almost every day. Not every day. There's been a few days we haven't been here. But almost every day since March 22nd of 2020. That ain't bragging. Because if you knew us and what we had to overcome to get this done, you'd say, wow, the grace of God is working in their life, isn't it? It's a great testimony of God's grace and his mercy and his love in our life. Thank you, Jesus, for your blessing in Jesus' mighty name. Wow. Now, I want to tell you something. Everybody, please listen to me. Right now, physically, in my body, I'm having one of those sweat things.
Really?
Mm-hmm. What is it, Pastor? Well, as I've been studying it, listening to other people, it is a fear. What is it? I don't know. But I'm not in fear of anything right now. But I'm saying this to you because I want you to see I have to fight a battle just like you do. Well, Pastor, how are you going to fight that fear? Well, here's how I'm going to fight it right now. In the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, no matter what thought or emotion just did something on the inside of me, I rebuke you in Jesus' name, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Samuel J. Cottle is free indeed because of what Jesus just did in my life and what he does every single day. I will not be afraid. And I declare by the blood and righteousness of Jesus, whatever that fear is, it is washed out of my life. And God Almighty.
Amen.
Has set me free. And that's how you do the battle.
Amen.
Pastor, you really have to fight that battle? Yeah. It was wild because all of a sudden I just felt this whole flush of that whole sweat thing just all over my whole body. Doesn't matter. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus brought me life and life more abundantly. So who knows, maybe somebody's just in the realm of spirit said something against me. I don't know. It don't matter. Because it has no ability to stop the work of God, the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. It has no ability to stop it.
Amen.
No weapon formed against me can prosper. And no tongue, nobody's tongue rising against me has any ability to stop the work that God's doing in my life.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Yeah, are you ready? Hold on just a second. Here we go. Let's receive our communion elements together. Ready? Lift your elements up. And we'll bless them in Jesus' mighty name. We didn't even read the verses, did we?
Nope.
That's all right. We got you born again, and we're going to receive the elements. Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you,
for
Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you endured the cross. I can't. You despised the shame. I can't. You took the beating, and I get the blessing. Thank you. We lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me, by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
Every sin has been placed. In remission.
In my life forever.
In my life forever.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly to the throne of God.
I come boldly to the throne of God.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass
and
over.
Cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down forever.
The accuser of the brethren is forever.
And there's no more condemnation.
And there's no more condemnation.
In my life.
In my life.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Let's receive. The blood of Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Well, guys, I'm up against a hard timeline here. So I got to be done. I encourage you to go back and listen to this video over and over and over and over. I wonder sometimes if you think that that is what Sister Leanne and I actually do, or if we just say we do it. But we have listened to some videos.
Oh my goodness.
50 to 100 times. Why? Because they are that life transforming to us. Guys, I go back and listen to my own videos. Really, Pastor? Yeah.
New revelation.
Why? Because it's not me. This isn't me. This isn't because I'm some wise Bible scholar. I sit here for the Holy Spirit of God to lead us every step of the way in Jesus' mighty name. Job. I'm going to speak my final verses over. Job 33. Please write this reference down. Please pray this prayer over your family. Please receive this prayer from me. And when the dreams come, whether they're happy or they're scary, email me and tell me so we can get victory over this stuff. Job 33, 14 through 18. For God may speak in one way or another, and yet man does not perceive what he is saying. You don't always understand it. 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night when deep sleep falls upon men, while you're slumbering on your bed, then he, God, capital He, opens the ears of men and seals their instruction inside of them. I work at night. I pray for every one of you all night long for God to seal an instruction on the inside of you. What does it do? It turns you. Look at what it says. Verse 17, in order to turn man from your deeds that's taken you away from him. It's going to conceal the pride that's in you that will choose a different way than God. That instruction will conceal that pride so that you can get to God. And he'll keep your back, your soul from the pit, and your life from perishing by the sword. I speak it over you every single day. Jude, verse 20. And you, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. On some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Revelation 1:5. And for Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Those of you on Blog Talk Radio and Read the Word, we're making it. On December 31st, we will be reading the last chapter of the book of Revelation.
Roger, can you say, God, I humble myself?
That's how you say it.
That is what he
That's how you say it. God, I humble myself before you. Because when we say, God, humble me, the devil jumps in immediately and says, well, God won't do that, so that means I get to humiliate you.
Yep, you left that door open.
Because God will not humble you unless you rebel against him. God says for you, humble yourself.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how you say it. In Jesus' mighty name. Got to run. See you soon. See you tomorrow morning right here. 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central for rebuilding the walls of righteousness. And like we say every time we come here, remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is
Lord.
See you soon. We sure do love you guys. Those of you that's around the world on Blog Talk Radio, we sure do love you. Make sure you remember, you can always send me an email address right down there in the comments of this program or in the details of the program is my email address. We would be glad to hear from you from around the world. In Jesus' name. You too.